song as well to bless us. Amen.
I just want to sing this song. It's a good song. If God can help us as a church, we can take our positions. There's so many songs I wish I could bring out. It's like an artist, you know. You want to bring them out. Even last time I was speaking to one man who used to come to church here with us, and I was asking him, where can I find good Christians who can help me to record all this music, you know? Because the people who I go and see, they wouldn't give you the same spirit, you know. You'd want to be recording with rock artists, you know. So it's quite a good song. It's one song that we went to Lithuania, and it was nice and peaceful. One morning, Sister Liana went to for teeth to be sorted, and within 5 minutes, it's the fastest I've ever put a song together. It was amazing. And when I look at the words, and even if you listen to the words, I just took it from certain things Brother George Martin said, certain things the pastor will preach, certain things the prophet will speak of. You just take various things and you can just put them all together as into a tune. By the word of the Lord, Joshua spake to the sun, don't move until the battle is won. Moon, stay in light. Oh, 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 in the valley of Ajalon. And there was no day like that ever that the Lord hearkened unto man. Come from his side in the word. Life of his breath, awakening that's in the shadow of day. You can stop the sun by faith, the victory's won. Pride of Christ, stay in life. Pride of Christ, stay in line. There stood Zacchaeus of Jericho. He reasoned, but he had to go. One look at Christ, he ceased to run. But how he stopped the sun? Right there, his battles were all won. For Zacchaeus lined up with the sun. Come from his side, in the word we must abide. Life of his breath, awakening he that's in the shadow of day. Can't stop the sun. By faith the victory's won. Pride of Christ, stay in line. Oh, 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 pride of Christ, you must stay in line. Here in this last golden age, an end time people in a final stage, we have seen the manifestation of the Son of Man. Pride of Christ, keep pressing while you can. It won't be long, we'll be going on. Maranatha, even now, we come from inside. In the word we must abide. Of his breath, awakening that's in the shadow of day. Can't stop the sun. By faith the victory's won. Light of Christ, stay in line. Oh, 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 pride of Christ, you must stay in line.
I can find song. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Jesus is mine. Oh, the foretaste of glory divine, Lamb of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, launched in His blood.
This is my story.
This is my story. This is my song.
My song.
My Savior, all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior, all the day long. Perfect submission. Perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. My story, this is my soul.
I'm
praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my soul. Praising my Savior all the day. Perfect submission,
wounds and wounds.
I need my Savior in happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above. Lost in His love.
This is my story.
This is my story. This is my soul.
Oh, my soul.
I'm praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story.
This is my story.
This is my soul.
My soul.
My Savior, all the day long. Oh, to Jesus I surrender. I surrender.
We'd have a wonderful time if that was the truth. If every one of us here had surrendered it all before we came today, my, what a wonderful time it'll be. May it be done one day that every one of us would come into this place surrendered and yielded so we could start like sometimes we end. And then I think we'll end in a place that you've never been before. I just want to greet, let's put our prayer request first of all. We have Brother Brian, Sister Deirdre asking for prayer. They're both sick this morning. A lot of sickness around. Brother Vlad already prayed for his father there, so he's asking trouble with his ear, not able to come to church. Brother Mike, Sister Patience traveled to the UK, asking for prayer for a safe journey. Let's put these petitions before the Lord. Father, before we approach your word, how wonderful to approach unto you, to bring these needs before you once again, Lord, Father of your sons and your daughters. You see the need. Father, we just commit these things up unto thee. We bring them up unto thee, just uniting, Lord, ourselves together according to your promise, to ask of thee, Lord, that you'd minister grace. Lord, to our brother or sister that have traveled to the UK, pray that you'll minister a blessing to them as they would go. Keep them safe. Bring them safely back, Lord. Father, our brother and our sister that are sick upon this day, we just ask and pray, Lord, even now, that, Lord, just in the simplicity of things, that, Lord, you would visit them with healing on your wings. And, Father, Brother Vlad's father, this with his ear, Lord, we bring it up unto thee once again. Father, if just one little touch from you is all that's required, Lord, and we just call you on the scene, we just ask of thee, Lord, that, Father, the same hand, Lord, that touched the blind man in the Bible and opened his eyes, Lord, we just pray that the same hand will touch his ear even now, Lord. Just do something for him. Grant him grace. Grant him mercy upon this day. And Father, every other request that we have, Lord, you know the desires of your people. Our desires just for a closer walk with you. Father, our desires just to know you more. Our desires just to have a deeper understanding of your purpose. That, Lord, we may walk in a deeper harmony with you. Help us, Lord, this day we pray. Father, bless your people gathering to the north, south, east, and west. We pray for them. Bless your people. Touch your people upon this day. Our sister, the funeral in Congo this day, won't you just bless her and help the people, Lord? Be their comfort, be their stay, be their guide, we pray. Brother Pele's father, we just lift him up unto thee as well. Lord, he so needs a touch from you. Father, he needs you to pass his way, that, Lord, there can be a from that time, that something changed, that things wouldn't be the same. And Father, so open up your word. Father, grant us grace. We just want to fellowship with you upon this day, Lord. We've come from our homes. We've come on the icy roads, Lord. We've come upon this day. Father, we haven't come just to meet with one another, though we love to see one another. But Father, we've come because we want to fellowship with you. And Father, that needs your grace. Open up our understanding. Grant us the spirit of revelation. Lord, Father, so open up your word. Father, we're looking unto thee upon this day. Father, feed us with the bread of life. You said that any that come unto thee hungry will never go back hungry, Lord. But Father, you will meet us, Lord, according to our expectation, Lord. And Father, we are expecting you, Lord, to pass our way once again this day. Grant grace to the speaker, to the hearers, Lord. Father, to each and every one of us, to our young children, we pray for them. Our youth, we pray for them. As we come to the end of a year, Father, thank you that you've kept us. Grant us grace, minister us, Lord, to a higher place. Lord, grant us grace as we enter into this new year, that, Father, it may be something, Lord, that glorifies thee indeed. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I just want to greet our visitors as well. Jack, Brother Jose's brother. God bless you. Kadupubanis, brother. And also Dave Kruger from South Africa. With a name like that, you can tell. God bless you. It's nice to have you with us, a friend of Brother George. Let's greet the visitors. Amen. Please feel welcome. Let's open our Bible straight away, Hebrews chapter 3. I'd like to get into a thought, all as when it comes to the end of the year. I'm sure you, like me, you really like to take stock, look back in your life. You know, you'd really see certain things. You really appreciate that the Lord has done for you, certain things that he has done through you, he's used you in certain ways. But there's also a desire, like that song says, a burning desire in me to be more like thee. It's growing stronger every day. I'm burdened in my soul. Perfection is my goal, to walk with you in perfect harmony. I just want to speak about that, about being in harmony with your theophany. Because I'm sure that's your desire, to be in a deeper harmony with the purpose of God for your individual life in the year that lays before. So let's open Hebrews chapter 3. Just the first verse, because Paul is going to speak to us about our calling once again. So he says in verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, sanctified, consecrated brethren, it's good to gather with them today, separated by the Lord according to his divine purpose. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. So we partakers of a heavenly calling today. The calling we've received is a heavenly calling. We didn't call one another here. We're not gathered because of race. We're not gathered because of political persuasion, because of the color of our skin or the language that we speak. We're gathered because of a heavenly calling. That's our common purpose that we have. Philippians chapter 3 as well. Paul once again gives us another name for this calling. Philippians 3 verse 14, very familiar scripture, but we just want a part of it. Verse 14, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So it's a high calling that you've been called to, and we're pressing towards an even higher calling, which is our desire. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. So we're looking at this thought of being in harmony. In harmony with the purpose of God for your life. Now, the prophet in the message, when he speaks about your calling, he calls a calling your absolute. Now, that calling that God has in the life of a believer, God's desire for you when God passes your way, is he wants whatever he's called you to be your absolute. He wants that to be the most important thing inside of your life, the thing that you measure everything against. Now, there's nothing more important to God than your calling in your life. If we had to ask him today, if you went into the presence of the Lord, went before the throne of grace, and you asked him and said, Lord, you see my life, you see my bank account, you know, maybe you see my health, you see different things that I've got needs for. And you asked him, said, Lord, but what would be the greatest thing that you would have in mind for me? What would be the thing that you would want me to focus on the most? Lord, if I was asking you for advice, what would it be? The Lord would definitely say, I want you to focus on your calling. The most important thing is your calling, my calling on your life. That's got to have the preeminence. That's got to be the thing that you really, really put ahead of anything else. And we wouldn't want to be putting anything ahead of the calling of God inside of our lives. We know that's not really what you want. So the prophet says that many times your calling is your absolute. That's what it should be. This should be the most important thing to you. The calling when Christ called you, when he visited you and he revealed his purpose to you in your life. That should be when life really began for you. That should be something that you always wind back to. You know, when the enemy wants to come in and confuse you and say all manner of things and maybe life goes upside down, there's a place that you can wind back to. There's a certain place that you can go back to that the devil can never take away from you. The prophet says it's a sacred sands where you met him and he revealed himself to you and he started you now on a path to fulfill your purpose, your destiny in life. You know, and even if you get out of cater with that, you can always wind back to it. You can always get yourself quiet before the Lord and you can think back and say, but Lord, I know that you're real. I know your purposes are real. I know your thoughts towards me are good because you've revealed yourself to me. You know, so that is, should be your absolute. And I just wanted to say right at the beginning that it's so important to find this absolute in your youth, especially to young people. You know, the prophet says when you become a believer, when Christ calls you, you need to hit the ground running and don't stop. That is what the Christian life should be. You know, I never, ever since Christ revealed himself to me, I never wanted other people to do my praying for me. I don't want other people to be reading the message for me. I don't want other people to be studying the Bible for me. Although you appreciate, obviously, gifts in the body to come and explain things and reveal things. But I always felt inside of myself, the impetus inside of myself, I want to pray myself. You know, I want it to be my own prayer life. I do appreciate other people praying for me. We need it. The Bible says, any sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray. There's times you're going to need people to pray for you. But I never ever wanted a life, especially from the days of my youth, where my spiritual life, the progress that I was making was depending on other people. know, that I was feeding all the time on other people's revelation, feeding on other people's reading of the message, feeding on other people's prayer. I don't want that. I wanted, and I'm glad God gave me that from when I was young, was an absolute. That I learned that you can have come right through, break right through to the throne of grace yourself. That you can have a prayer life, that no matter how much life is upside down, no matter what discouragements come, no matter how much the devil is fighting and shooting at you, there's a certain spiritual place that God has taken you in the days of your youth, a certain sacred sands that you can press into by the grace of God, and you can break through, and you can find the place of victory. You can find your vision once again. You can find your spiritual orientation yourself once again. You can find your footing in Christ once again when it seems that you've been losing your way. But I always wanted that for myself. When I heard other people speak about it, other people speak about this and that, that the Lord would do for them. I don't want other people always to have the testimonies. I wanted testimonies myself. Now I wanted something in the days of my youth was an absolute to me, that I could say I met him. And ever since I met him, my life has never been the same. You know, and I'd really encourage, especially the young people, don't approach your calling, or if Christ visits you or brings you into his grace in this day, never ever settle for a halfway sort of Christian life. Don't ever settle for that kind of a thing. You know, that you put more emphasis on your studies than you do on Christ's calling inside of your life. That you put more emphasis on natural things than you do on the purpose that God has for putting you here. You know, never do that. This has got to be your absolute. And if any person that ever has amounted to anything in their spiritual life has been that kind of a person, who when Christ visited them, and Christ, he likes to visit you in your youth. He wants to get a hold of you before you get into the complicated decisions of life. Before you make the decisions of marriage and where you're going to live and what sort of studies, what sort of life, you know, that you're choosing. You know, Christ wants to get a hold of you so that he can be the one to guide you in those decisions. He can be the one to set you on the right course in life. Because some of these things are very difficult for us to reverse. Some of these things are very difficult for us to backtrack on. That once we've got ourselves set in a certain way, we've married, we've got a family, we've chosen a certain career, we're going down a certain channel in life, and then Christ comes and calls you and turns you around at that time. Sometimes it's not that easy. Because now you've got all these things that you've got hanging on in your life. You've got all these things that are weighing you down. How much better that the Lord calls you in the days of your youth. And that you seek him and you find your absolute in the days of your youth. And he is the one who helps you to make those decisions. And he is the one who sets you on that course. Who sets you in a certain channel, spiritual channel, a certain walk with himself right from the days of your youth. Surely that would be God's desire for our lives. And when God gives you that opportunity, no, take it with both hands and use that opportunity. Now use your time. The Bible says, redeem the time for the days are evil. Don't waste your time with computer games all the time and vanity and foolishness and folly. But redeem the time. Now really seek him to say, if there's a God, I want to meet him. If this Bible is true, I want him to reveal it to me. If there's a message of the hour, I want him to reveal it to me. I want it to be a personal thing for myself. So that no matter what comes in the future, no matter how much the enemy fights against it, tries to confuse me up, I always have a tie post, a place that I can wind myself back to, that I'll know. Because the devil can only beat you down to your foundation. There's nothing more. He can never take you beyond your foundation. No, he can do this, that, and the other. But if you've got the right foundation, the gates of hell will never prevail against that. And that's why it's so good to get established in the days of your youth, to find this real absolute, to break through into the spiritual channel of God's purpose for your life, of why God made you and why God called you, why God has made you what you are, why God has allowed you to go through the things that he's allowed you to go through, because there's a purpose for these things. And once you start breaking into that realm in the days of your youth and you fellowship in heavenly places with this spiritual dimension of life, that God starts revealing to you, God will do something for you that you'll never again be satisfied just with the natural things of life. Amen. Though you may get your PhD, though you may become the most highly educated person in life. That's not your absolute. You'll still have the same absolute because you've broken into something which is beyond anything that this world can offer to you. And it's a place that is so satisfying. You know, when you find out what it is to walk with Christ, to walk in your calling, to find harmony with the purpose of God inside of your life, there's nothing that can ever satisfy like that. There's nothing that can fulfill you inside of your soul. There's nothing that can ever make you feel that way. And God has ordained it like that because this is the supreme. This is the absolute. This is the most important thing that God has. It's the purpose that He put you on earth and the purpose that He's calling you for. So that's why He wants that to be our absolute. The supernatural channel that He opens to us. Once He opens the door to you, go through. Pursue. When the Lord called Abraham and said, I've given you the land, the prophet says Abraham went from the north, south, east, and west because he wanted to search out this land that he had been given. And that's what I really do believe that the Lord wants us to do as well. Especially when you're young and you don't have too many earthly ties. And no, you don't have too many other things weighing you down. Paul said, he that is single cares for the things of the Lord. How you may please him, but he who is married cares for the things of his wife. Because you've got to have to look after your family and different things. So in the days of your youth, the Bible says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days draw nigh. But the devil has given so many distractions to young people these days. So many of them. We used to have them in our day, but never the way that it is now. There's so much for you just to waste your life with. Just to spend time that's just idle, that's not redeemed time, that serves no purpose. And then when the crisis comes and the sickness comes and the problems come later on, you've got nothing to wind back to. You've got no foundation. You've got no spiritual reality. When the critic comes and tells you these things you believe are false, you've got no spiritual foundation to overcome that when the enemy comes to you. That's why in the days of your youth, pursue your absolute. Pursue it with all your heart and all your soul until you know who He is that has called you. Until you know what He's called you for. Your calling, the unfolding of God's purpose for your life is a progressive unfolding. But God will set you on a certain course in the days of your youth. God will start to bless you down a certain channel. And a certain line, and God will be confirming to you right from the days of your youth, this is what I've called you to do. It may start in its infancy, like David when he kills a lion and he kills a bear. But he has a good idea in the days of his youth when he sees the way that God is training him up and God is dealing with him. He has a very good idea. God's calling him to a ministry of deliverance. He's going to be a great king. He's going to deliver Israel from the Philistines. So you can see, he could see right from the days of his youth when he received the anointing of the prophet and the Spirit came upon him. It set him in a certain spiritual channel. It set him in a certain direction. The prophet says that was God's great school for David. And the message God called men. And the same as you and I. You know, when you really meet him in the days of his youth and you really seek him with all your heart, he'll set you down a certain spiritual channel. There may be music, it may be gifts of the Spirit, maybe testifying, maybe the ministration of the Word, maybe prayer, it may be whatever it is that God has for your life. But he has a purpose and he wants you to start tasting of that purpose in the days of your youth, to taste and to see that the Lord is good. And friends, it's sweet in that channel. But Satan's going to do the best that he can to try to get you out of that calling. That's what you were speaking the other week when you said you've fallen from your first love. No, to fall means to move out of the channel. That God opens a certain channel and he's real and you love him and you love his word and you love his people. Satan's not going to leave you like that. He's going to do his utmost to get you out of that channel. Because just as much as God, it's so important to the Lord, the most important thing to him in your life is for you to fulfill that purpose, to fulfill your heavenly calling. No, the most important thing to the devil is to stop you fulfilling that heavenly calling. Because when you're walking in that channel in the way that you should, you're a tremendous threat to his kingdom. You do a lot of damage to the kingdom of darkness. You don't give the devil much opportunity or room inside of your life when you're walking in harmony with this purpose that he has for your life. When you're walking down this certain spiritual channel. So, you know, as you finish this year, you can look back, but sometimes it's a good opportunity to reorient yourself again. To shut yourself away with the Lord for a while. and say, Lord, I thank you for this year that's gone by, but you know, help me to learn, Lord. You know, show me the principles, teach me the way. Help me to learn from the things that I've gone through, that I may be better equipped as I move into this year. That there may be a deeper consistency inside of me, spiritually speaking. Because the Lord said to Joshua, don't turn to the left hand or to the right. Maybe this year you were pulled aside to the left or pulled aside to the right. Now you want to go into the new year to say, Lord, I want to be more consistent in my walk this year. That come what may come. So it doesn't matter the storms that come. Doesn't matter the disappointments that come. I don't want to turn to the left or to the right this year. I want to stay in this channel. I want to stay in this prophetic channel. The spiritual channel that you've opened for me. And the more time you spend in that channel, the further down the road you're going to get. And the more effective you're going to be, and the more real the Lord's going to be, and the more He's going to vindicate and confirm the purpose that He called you for. And you're going to have a clearer vision. You know, things are going to be, you're not going to be walking as in a, you know, in a daze, but you're going to be walking as in a vision. You're going to be seeing the purposes of God. So there's a deep inside of you and a deep inside of me that God has placed there. If we are predestinated sons and daughters of God, there's a deep inside of us that only responds to a certain spiritual deep. The prophet says, something in you will respond to your theophany. Now, what is your theophany? When God says, let us make man in our image, He didn't only form Adam. He formed theophanies as well. You know, He formed your spiritual body, your word body. And that word body is God's purpose for you. It's what God prophesied over your life from before the foundation of the world. It's what God has written in His book. He didn't just write your name, James Machiah. There was a certain spiritual purpose. There was a certain spiritual essence, attributes. There was a certain something God has in His mind, His purpose and His plan for you. And that's what He wrote in your book. And that's what He spoke over you in the beginning. And that was your theophany came forth. Your spiritual or your word body. And we bypass that. And we are born in the flesh. We're born in sin. We come into this world not even knowing what we're here for. We think we're here just to make money. We think we're here, many people, just to make children wherever we go. There's some people's lives and so forth. To entertain ourselves, to gratify the flesh. But at a certain time, this something comes from the heavenly place to the seed of God. Amen. To those that are separated from God. And there's something that comes and ministers to that deep inside of you that you didn't even know that was there. There's something comes and speaks to you, and God visits you in some kind of a way. And something wakes up inside of you that has never been woken before. You may have gone through religion, you may have gone through philosophy, you may have gone through all manner of things, but it never touched that certain spiritual seed inside of you. But then at a certain time when God comes and calls you, when He reveals Himself in some way to your soul, when He reveals Himself that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that He's alive and He personally draws near to you in your time of visitation, there's something inside of you that starts to respond. There's a deep in you that starts to respond to a deep that's starting to draw nigh to you. And God's purpose is to bring these two things into harmony. This deep that is in God, this purpose that He has for you, and the deep that is inside of you. He wants that to be the absolute. He wants that to have the preeminence so that you and I can walk in harmony with Him. And friends, one sure sign that you're walking in harmony with Him is we'll walk in harmony with other people that are walking in harmony with Him. Now you will have fellowship with one another, the Bible says. If we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now that's when you really, really appreciate the heavenly calling of your brothers and your sisters as well. So this which God proposed for you before the foundation of the world, it's the prophecy of your life. That's what it is. It's what God has spoken concerning your life. This is the mystery of your life. The mystery, Paul speaks of it in Ephesians 1, the mystery of His will. This is the mystery. It was sealed up before. You didn't know what it was. But in due season, God comes and breaks open that seal, that mystery that seals this purpose of God for your life. And you start to see now, but yay. Like Paul, Saul of Tarsus, one day he realized on the way to Damascus, when there's a supernatural something took place, And Christ came down in word form, the Logos himself, and came and revealed himself to Saul of Tarsus. Saul started to realize he wasn't Saul of Tarsus. And not just Saul of Tarsus, Saul was turned into Paul, and he started to realize, I'm Paul, an apostle, a servant, a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He started to find out who he really was. That I'm not just Saul of Tarsus, him who sat at the feet of Gamaliel. Although that was necessary, he had to go through that. But he started now to realize, but I'm Paul. That's who I really am. I'm an apostle. I'm a prisoner. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. And progressively, as he went down to Arabia for three years and searched it out, the Lord started to reveal unto him. But that was Paul's absolute. That was the turning point. That was the time that he could look back and say, ever since then, things were never the same. That's when I really started to find out who I really was. I never knew who I was until he passed my way. Paul heard the prophets from his theophany. He started to realize this purpose, this heavenly calling, this heavenly purpose, this heavenly vision. He started to realize what it was. And he started now to walk as close as he could in a harmony in this channel that had been opened up to him. And as he walked in the channel, the vision would always be clear. The purpose would always be clear. It would progressively unfold itself as he stayed in that secret place of the Most High, with his soul in a place where it was just him and Christ walking together. But friends, there's so many things that the enemy is going to try to do to disorient us. The prophet says in the absolute, he says, how the enemy in every way that he can will try to get you away from that absolute. He wants to get you to fall from that first love. He wants to get you to move out of that channel like we said the other week. Not so that you lose the focus, you lose the vision. You start doing things that you didn't used to do before. You stop doing things that you used to do in the beginning. And that's why the Lord had to say to that Ephesian age, I appreciate everything you're doing, but you've got out of the original channel that you were in. You're not doing the things that you used to do. And you're doing things now. You're permitting things now. You're allowing things now that you never would have allowed in the days of your first love. When that you had the real absolute and was declaring itself to you. And it was real to you. You never would have permitted some of these things that you read. Some of these things that you watch. The way that you talk. The conversations that you have. The way you dress. The way you conduct yourself. He says, you've fallen from somewhere. And he says, remember from where you have fallen. Now go back to that absolute once again. And remember what kind of a walk it was when you were walking in that absolute. He says, and then repent. No, separate yourself. Crucify those things that have brought you to where you are. Lay them on the altar and die to those influences that have pulled you out of the channel of your absolute. And then go back and do the first works. And you'll find that he's never changed his absolute. He's never changed his thoughts, his purpose. He's never changed a single thought that he had for you. Because from before the foundation of the world, he spoke that of you. And he wrote it in a book. And there's your theophany, your word body, in perfect conformity to his purpose for you. And the prophet says, at some stage, you're going to hear from that realm. You're going to hear. And what God wants us to do as you go into this year, there's got to be a deeper harmony. No matter what the cost is going to be, no matter the price that you have to pay, God wants to bring us into a harmony with that calling, a harmony with the heavenly vision that he has for us. That we can testify like Paul when he's brought before Agrippa and he says, oh, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Yeah. And wouldn't you like to have that testimony? He says, I wasn't disobedient to the heavenly vision. But friends, he's going to do everything that he can to pull us out from that absolute, he says, to get us to fall from that high calling, to get us out of that channel, to move us away. And then you'll look in your life and say, but now, what was 2014 all about? Yeah, what really was it all about? Now, was there progress? Was there increased vision? Now, did you learn something that better equipped you even in your mistakes and your failings? Now, was this a year where there was redeemed time, redemptive time in this year? Or was this just a year that you were a wandering star, just wandering here and wandering there and Once again, you seem to come to the borderland of spiritual blessing, and then you're like the children of Israel. You're back wandering around in the wilderness again. No, using your energy, using your resources, but never really getting anywhere. Friends, you wouldn't want too many years like that inside of your life. Now, when you see those kind of years, it's good to call a halt at the end of the year and say, Lord, let 2015 be a different year. Let me seek you now. Let me get back to that sacred ground once again. Let me revisit those old places that were so precious to me. That old prayer life. That old searching out of the word, searching out of the message. Giving sufficient opportunity to the Lord to minister to you. Because friends, it takes time to be holy. It takes time for the word to have an influence and an effect inside of your life. Now you can't just be listening to 15 minutes of a message before you sleep when your mind is full of the affairs of the day. Or getting up in the morning and you're so tired from not getting enough rest and the confusion of this life. And you read a scripture and if somebody asks you 5 minutes later, you know, which chapter did you read? You can't even remember the chapter that you read. It's easy to live that kind of a life. That's not a life that's worthy of your high calling, your heavenly calling. Amen. That is not a life that is worthy of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophet preached, is your life worthy of the gospel? Is it worthy? And friends, that's our part that we've got to play. We've got to look and say, but this isn't worthy of the gospel. Me gossiping all the time like this isn't worthy of the gospel. Me spending vain time in these affairs of, you know, the digital age without any spiritual purpose. This is not a life that's worthy of the gospel. This isn't why he shed his blood and he died for me and he redeemed me from what I was. Redeemed me from my sins and my trespasses so that I play around with the vanity of this age. I play around with the foolishness of this life. That's not a life that's worthy of the gospel of Christ. But to a genuine believer who has a heavenly calling, there's a deep inside of you. That's never going to be satisfied with that kind of a life. You may stray into that life once in a while. You may be pulled aside by circumstances from the heavenly calling, but the deep in you will never be satisfied by that. No matter how much you try to make excuses for it and say it's his fault, it's her fault, it's their fault. This is an individual call. You have a heavenly calling. You have your first love. We can't be blaming each other when we lose our first love. That's an individual thing, friends. And this calling is an individual call. And we need to look back at our lives and say, Lord, am I making ground? Has there been a progress? Can I really say I'm not what I used to be? The prophet says, you know, if you read in the church ages, he says, you find the church, they sing that song, there's been a great change in me. And he says, yes, for the worse. Now, you wouldn't want to be able to apply the songs like that. You want to look and say, Lord, there's been a great change in me. There's been some pain, there's been some suffering, there's been some lessons that I've learned. But Lord, there's been progress. Lord, you've been bringing me closer to the fulfillment of this calling. Lord, there's a greater maturity in walking in a harmony with this heavenly calling. And friends, I'm sure that's your desire for the new year. That's my desire. That's what I'd be seeking, the mystery of redemption for the individual. What is the mystery of redemption for you? What is God's purpose? What is his plan for you? He said through Jeremiah, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. He says, I know the plans that I have for you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. He's trying to get us somewhere, friends. He's got something in his mind. That's his burden. That's his purpose. That's the deep that's inside of him. That's what your theophany is calling out for today. Like Brother George was singing, Bride of Christ, stay in line. Now get back in that channel. Don't get pulled to the left hand or to the right. Stay in that place. No matter the circumstances, that will come. They asked the prophet a question in the message, Ever Present Water from the Rock. They said, Brother Bram, why is it that our gifts and our callings don't seem to come to what they should be? And he says, it's because the people in the testing time fall away. He says, you think that God has forsaken you. You see, when God is taking you through something to prune you or to purge you, or, you know, to do something for you, putting you in the quarry or putting you in the furnace, the refiner's fire, now we get unbelief coming at that time, or self comes in at that time. Now we fall away. When God's trying to take us through something to make us better equipped, like we were saying with Brother Will the other day, that he comes to prune the fruitful branches. That's what he does. He comes to purge. If any man in me brings forth fruit, my Father purges that branch. He comes and cuts off the dead wood. Comes off to purge of those areas of your life that you're using resources on, but they're not bringing forth anything. Amen. He wants to chop those things off so that the resources may be channeled in the right direction. So you may bring forth the predestinated fruit that you were predestinated to bring forth. And I must bring forth what I'm predestinated to bring forth. Now we mustn't impersonate one another. Mustn't make anybody else the standard. We've got to be careful of that. This is a very individual thing. This is something that he has prophesied over you before the foundation of the world. He spoke of your life, the purpose and the mystery of your life before time began. And he wrote it in the book. Now, the mystery of redemption, the moment that we speak about that. Listen how the prophet says this in the Message Absolute, page 48. He says, listen, I want to tell you something. He had a purpose in saving me. He has a purpose in saving you. Amen. And I'm determined by his will to do it. Yeah. Okay? But now listen, this is very interesting how he unfolds it from there. He says, not to add to it or to take from it. Then he says, Revelation 22:19, if you want to put that down. Let's read Revelation 22:18-19. This is the scripture. So the prophet's taken the purpose of your life, the individual call and the purpose, and he links it to Revelation 22. He's saying, don't add to this calling and don't take away from it. Yeah. Revelation 22:18, if you'd go up on there, brother, thanks. So, this is testifying now, John, the angel speaking to John, testifying of the book of redemption, the book of Revelation. And this is the mystery of, this is where all the mystery purposes of God are sealed up, is in the book of Revelation, yeah? And the angel says, for I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. Now you and I are in that book. Amen. We're in there. We in Revelation 10, thou must prophesy again. You in Revelation 22, whatever, the bride has made herself ready. You can search the book of Revelation. There's going to be many parts of that prophecy that it's up to you and I to fulfill. That a prophecy applies to us. And your individual life, your individual calling, it's going to be found in that book. You're going to be tied up in there somewhere. Your purpose, your calling. You're going to find yourself, Revelation 3, to him that overcometh Laodicea, I'll grant to sit with me in my throne. Now you're going to find yourself there. And that's me. That scripture is the Lord personally addressing it to me, to the believer in this day. So there's the words of the prophecy of your life. There's the words of divine prophecy that you and I are ordained to fulfill. That's our calling. That's our purpose here. That's why he placed us in this age. That's why he's opened the channel through the message of the hour. For no other purpose are we here. Everything else is very, very secondary, saints. No matter how many children we have, no matter how many cars we have, no matter how many bedrooms we have in our house, no matter how big our bank account can be, those things are all fine, but they're very secondary. Very secondary. Once you start getting yourself back in your calling. Because you'd rather lose all of those things than keep your calling. You'd rather. You'd rather say like Job, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. If that's his will, though you wouldn't want to lose your family, obviously, don't get me wrong, and your children, even your house, it's okay. But you find that's not the absolute inside of your life. So it says, to them that hear the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things. So this calling, this purpose for your life, be careful you don't add to it. Amen. Be careful. He's warning us, don't add to this purpose. This word that I've spoken concerning you before the foundation of the world. Don't look at somebody else and say, but they do this and they do that. Let me go and do what they do. That may not be part of your calling. Don't add to it. Don't add to these things. Go to the next verse, please, bro. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy. So this is the book of the prophecy of your life is found in here as well. Don't take away from it. If God's calling you to something, don't take away from what he's calling you to. Don't put other things in the way. Don't try to justify yourself and say, but I can't do this, I can't do that. Now I'd rather go and pursue my studies than pursue my calling. Be careful. You're going to take away from the book of your prophecy. And he says to them that take away from the words of the book of the prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book of life. That's a serious thing. You can lose great spiritual blessings and privileges. If you go back to verse 18, look what it says. If you add to it, he says, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. So friends, when you start adding to or taking away from our calling, we start having trouble in our lives. We're opening ourselves up to trouble. This is now when you're going to get into things in our homes, our health, our families, that we're not going to understand what's going on many times. But if we really trace ourselves back and get ourselves into the presence of the Lord and really go and say, but Lord, I don't understand why these things are happening inside of my life. You're going to find virtually everything that happens to you and me is related to our calling. It's related to our absolute. Everything is happening to us in reference to our absolute because God is determined for us to fulfill our calling. God is real, real determined for us to fulfill this calling. So the prophet's taken your calling, your absolute, that's what he's preaching on, and is relating it to the book of the prophecy. And that there can be plagues added and your name can be removed and so forth if you add or take away from this prophecy. This is quite a sobering thought to think about, friends. And I'm not saying that God's ever going to lose his elect. I'm not saying that at all. No, the elect never can be lost. But you're going to lose a lot of spiritual blessing. Like King Saul, if you take him as an example, he was called to a certain spiritual channel. There was a certain prophecy over his life. There was a certain purpose that he was to fulfill. But then he got lifted up in himself and he thought he'd go and do the work of the prophet himself. Now he's adding now to the book of the prophecy of his life. He's adding, he's not being called to this. He's not to offer the sacrifice. Samuel told him, wait 7 days and I'll come and I'll offer the sacrifice. And friends, in the message, we find ministers are doing that now. They're starting to put themselves in the place of the prophet, saying we don't need this, that, and the other, and see how the plagues hit their lives. It doesn't take long. They're caught in sin. They're caught in this, that, and God is testifying. Not that they're not sons and daughters of God, because God corrects us all. But God is showing you adding and you're taking away here. It's not going to be for your good. Don't turn to the left hand or to the right. Stay with your absolute. But there's going to come pressure. There's going to come all kinds of things upon us, saints. Because Satan wants to move us from our absolute. And God is going to open the channel of revelation, the channel of gifts, whatever he can, to try to minister us back in line. Bride of Christ, stay in line. That's what he wants. Stay in this channel of your calling. And this is the great spiritual warfare that is going on in every single one of our lives today as the sons and daughters of God. And as you come closer and closer to fulfilling your destiny, expect that warfare to become more intense because you are better trained and qualified soldier than you were before. God can increase the intensity inside of your life because you're not plenty green like you used to be, but you're becoming golden brown because you've been laying in the presence of the sun. And that's why we go through the things that we go through, friends. There's this mystery of his will, the mystery of your life. The mystery of his purpose that he has for you and I. What he has written in the book of his prophecy concerning you before the foundation of the world. We don't need to turn to the left. We don't need to add and we don't need to take away. But it's easy to do it. So King Saul, he adds to it. What happens to him? He's removed from being king. He's removed from being king. My, it's not a nice thing to happen to somebody. Now, let's look at one more example before we get to what the prophet has to say about this. Let's look at Uzziah. I really liked his example in King Uzziah in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We'll take a few scriptures from here. Please don't put it on the screen. I'll just read it because you quote quite a few scriptures. Uzziah, 2 Chronicles chapter 26. He was 16 years old. If you got your Bible open in verse 3, he was 16 years old, yeah? When he began to reign. So before the foundation of the world, when God was writing names in the book, this man Uzziah, when God spoke prophecy over his life, he was to be king. He was to be king at exactly this junction in time. So God gave him a certain lineage. God gave him a certain training in the days of his youth. But the thing that I like, verse 5, 2 Chronicles 26. It says, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Amen. Now let's explain this about the book of redemption of your life. The prophet says in the seals, when he's speaking of God's plan of redemption, he says, here is the plan of it. So the way that God's plan of redemption opens to the church ages is the same way his plan of redemption is going to work in your life as well. The way it deals with an age, the way it deals with a church, the way it deals with an individual, God uses the same plan. We'll see that. So he says, here's the plan of it. First thing that happens, there's an announcement in the heavens. So God wants to do something. God wants to reveal something. There's an announcement in the heavens. Something's happening in heavenly places. God wants to advance his redemptive purpose onwards. So he says, what happened? A seal is opened. So a seal being opened means God is going to reveal more of his plan of redemption to a people. He's going to reveal more of this redemptive purpose. So at certain junctions in our life, God is going to come to us and open that seal to us even more. And we're going to look under that seal and we're going to see more of his redemptive purpose. So a seal is open. God wants to do something. He says, I want to move my son on. I want to move my daughter on. So God has a purpose and he opens a seal. There's something was sealed up before. It was a mystery in God. But now God wants to reveal it to you. And there's a purpose that he wants to do that for. He says a seal is opened. What is that? A mystery is unfolded. So what was a mystery now? He wants to unfold it. So God had a mystery of your life, but now he wants it to be made flesh. He wants the mystery of your life to unfold itself more, because this is progressive, friends. Just as much as the seals open progressively to move the church on through the church ages, the seals open progressively to us as well. Now first he reveals redemption to you, salvation. Then maybe he reveals something else. And maybe then he calls you to a certain spiritual office, or he anoints you to exercise a certain spiritual gift. And then he wants to move us on. So at certain junctions, he opens the seal to us. Amen. And we see, oh, whew, hey, this was a mystery to me before, but something's been made real. And when a seal was opened, he sends forth an anointing on that from the seal. Here comes the lion, the ox, the man, the eagle, yeah? Which were the anointings that he sends forth to fulfill the purpose. So you'll find at that certain time, God will visit you in a particular way. God will give you a visitation of grace that maybe you haven't had for some time. You've been going through the quarry. You've been going through the shaping time. You've been going through whatever it is that God's ordained. Then God says, now it's time for me to move the process of redemption on in the life of my son or my daughter. So now something, God determines something in the heavens. He opens a seal, releases an anointing. God reveals himself to you. There's a certain anointing, a certain quickening. There's a revelation. God's going to reveal something to you at that time. The prophet says, and when a mystery unfolds, then a trumpet sounds and it declares war. Amen. Because when God's going to start doing something, there's going to be a counterbalance. Amen. The devil's going to try to do something as well. Because he doesn't want you to make progress. He doesn't want God to move you on from where you are. So the moment the seal is opened, there's a trumpet as well on the other side. There's a declaration of war. And you wonder, hey, there's a spiritual warfare all of a sudden. Why are these things happening in my health? Why are these things happening inside of my life? Many times it's a good sign. God's doing something to advance his purpose in your life. To bring you into a deeper harmony with his purpose. To reveal more of the prophecy of your life to you. He wants to unveil, he wants to unseal that aspect now to you. Move you on from where you are. So this trumpet sounds and there's a spiritual war. Then the prophet says, then the angel of the church catches the mystery of God. Amen. See, I see what God, Luther sees. The just shall live by faith. You see, God wants to move the church on. So he unveils something. An anointing is sent forth. A revelation strikes. Moves you on from where you were. You see the purposes of God far greater than you did before. But the Pope's going to hear about it as well. And don't expect the Pope to be silent. He's going to make his bull of excommunication and he's going to threaten and do all that he can to stop this work in its infancy if he can. So this is the plan of redemption in the church ages. It's the plan of redemption in your and my life as well. There's these junctions of life. So the messenger now goes forth to the people, proclaims that message. What does it do? It starts a war, a spiritual war. Then God takes the messenger, seals him away with the elect, and drops a plague upon the people who reject it. Now that's where the plagues come in now. Is when God opens the seal, drops the anointing, reveals it to us, and then we reject it. And then we wonder why we got all these problems come inside of our lives. Because when you reject what's under the seal, there's going to come a plague. The prophet says a plague is a temporary judgment. He drops a temporary judgment and says, but get back in line. And there's a purpose in that. You know, so there's a purpose. So with King Uzziah, the seal is opened. Look in verse 5. The prophetic channel is opened. God grants him grace. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. So this man just wasn't left to his own devices. There came a certain time for him to fulfill his purpose. So God had to open the spiritual dimension of his purpose to him. And here came Zechariah the prophet with that anointing upon him, and he broke forth that to Uzziah. And Uzziah accepted that ministration, accepted the revelation of this vision. And as long as he walked faithful in that channel that had been opened to him at 16 years of age as king, he was going to be a blessing and he was going to be blessed. Amen. And look what he did straight away. At the end of verse 5 it says, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Amen. Progress, progress, progress. My. Verse 6, look at the progress. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines. This was part of his calling. He's a king. God's equipped him for it. He broke down the wall of Gath, the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities. So he's not only breaking down, he's edifying as well. He's building up. He's got a ministry of edification as well. He's got a ministry of deliverance, taking back his inheritance. The seal's been opened. He's starting to take back that which belongs to him. And then he starts building and establishing in that place. And friends, whenever the Lord visits you and you accept his visitation, there's going to be edification. You're going to possess your inheritance more, and you're going to build and establish, and things are going to be done in your experience. Verse 7, and God helped him against the Philistines. That's a sure sign you're in your calling. God's going to help you. Why? Because you're lining up, you're in harmony with your theophany, with God's prophecy for your life. God, what you're doing now, God's saying amen to what you're doing. God's saying, that's what I wanted you to do. That's what I wanted you to be. This pleases me. And God helped him. Helped him against the Philistines, etc., etc. Verse 8. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah. Look at the blessings that start coming. And his name spread abroad even to the entering of Egypt. For he strengthened himself exceedingly. Ah, friends. Those are the times where you strengthen yourself exceedingly. When you realize who the Lord is and his purposes and his blessing and his reality and his present tense. And the things maybe which you had lost to the enemy before, you start taking it back from the enemy at those kind of times. And you start building it up, friends. This is the mystery of redemption in your life. But you've got to stay in that channel. When God opens it up, you be careful. Don't turn to the left hand or to the right. Because the enemy doesn't want you to stay there. Because he doesn't like what you're doing to his sons and his daughters, to his kingdom. He doesn't like it at all. Moreover, verse 9, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem. My, he's building up the church, the bride, Jerusalem. He's edifying, he's building towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall. And he fortified them. Friends, revelation fortifies people. This visitation in his ministry is using it now to fortify the sons and daughters of God. He's using it to fortify Jerusalem. And that's a sure sign this man's walking in the right channel. He's not breaking down. He's not spreading confusion in Jerusalem. He's not causing disunity. He's building up and he's fortifying. That's a man walking in his calling, in his predestined. This is the prophecy of his life being fulfilled. It says in verse 10, he built towers in the desert and digged many wells. Now he's He's expressing his gifts and his callings in every aspect now. It's not only warfare, but there's building. Not only building, agriculture. Now he's making full proof of his ministry. People are starting to say, but we never knew this was inside of this young man. But it wasn't him. It was the Lord blessed him. Amen. When he walked in the vision of Zechariah. Under that anointing, when that seal of redemption was opened, when God wanted to further his purposes in that day, this man was faithful in his position. He was under the prophet, walking in that anointed channel, prophetic channel, and he found his place. Now, the prophet says, when the seals were opened, and John rejoiced, John saw his name under the seals. You see? Now, King Uzziah, he's found his name under the seals. When the vision of the day has been broken, he found, there's my part to play in the vision. And not only has he seen his name, but he's now starting to manifest his name, his new name. He's starting to bring forth things that before were never brought forth. Until he broke into this channel of vision and purpose and revelation and understanding which God had opened up. No one had ever known that there was these attributes inside of King Uzziah. But the moment he starts walking in this anointed place, you find now he's starting to unfold and express that which God had spoken of him before the foundation of the world. Can you see what's happening to the man? It's a great blessing for the man. It says in verse 11, moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands. So other people uniting around this ministry as well. This man's got a vision and a purpose, and other people are finding their vision and purpose and position as well. This is becoming a blessing. Verse 13, and under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. So these people are getting anointed as well, and they're making war with mighty power. We didn't find it in the few chapters before. But a seal is broken. There's a divine mystery being unfolded. God said, now's your time. Now's your season. Walk in this channel. God opens it up to him. And Uzziah, he's going to help them as much as he can. Verse 14. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the hosts. Shields and spears and helmets and so forth. He's equipping them. Giving them everything that he needs. The resources that he's got, he's using it now to equip the sons and daughters of God in Jerusalem. And they started to find their position, started to walk in their calling. It's a wonderful thing taking place. In verse 15, he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men. Other people are starting now to enter a channel they've never been in before. Maybe somebody was using his CAD techniques, the knowledge of computer design for foolishness. But now there's a certain channel that's open. A man says, let me use my skills for the glory of God. And he invents a cunning engine of war. A tower on wheels that can be moved and break down walls and defeat the enemy. And people are starting to move in now, and they're starting to use these gifts and these abilities in a certain prophetic anointed channel. They've never used it like this before. And people are starting to see, but I never knew that was in brother so-and-so. I never knew that was in sister so-and-so. But they're starting to bring forth now in the individual callings. He made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Wouldn't you like someone to look at you from far away and say, he's being marvelously helped. This is marvelous. This is a marvel in the life of this person. We never knew this was in sister so-and-so. We never knew this was in brother so-and-so. They're being marvelously helped until he became strong. And you wish, like I always say, you could just finish the chapter there. And say, and he died at an old age and he slept with his fathers. That's not happening, because the devil's going to be fighting against you right to the end of this road, friends. And the more effective you become, and the more you strengthened and a blessing and a benefit in your calling, the more the enemy's going to be fighting against you, trying to find, how can I get him off course? How can I bring her out of this original channel, away from this absolute? How can I get him out of this anointing? How can I get her out of this place? And he found it with the man in verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. What's he doing? He's adding to his calling now. He's adding to the book of prophecy. He's not supposed to do this. God never thought of him. God never prophesied that before the foundation of the world, that he must do the office of a priest. That was somebody else's office. Leave it alone. Stay in the place. Stay with your absolute. But Uzziah has been moved away from his absolute now. And he's seen the way that God's blessing the priests, and he sees the way they dress, and he sees the way they offer incense. And he says, hey, but I'm going to go and do that as well. Be careful. Stay in your calling. Stay with your absolute. That which God opened up for you from when you were young. God will progressively, he says, God will add gifts, make it more and more effective. But you'll find God will keep you in the same place. God's not going to call you like David in the days of your youth to kill a lion and a bear and then make you a member of the priesthood down the way. That wouldn't make sense. No, the way that he called you and dealt with you in the days of your youth. And why would he deal with you like that if all of a sudden you're going to have a 180 degree junction in your life to go and do something completely different? God doesn't work like that. God is a God of continuity. God is a God of progress. God started working with you before you knew him. God started preparing you to fulfill the mystery of his will in your life even before you were born. Through your parents, through your genealogy, through where you should be born, the time you should be born. God proposed all of those things. That's the mystery of his will. And as you start moving in this place, it's a glorious thing. But friends, the devil's going to try to pull you this way and that. If you have that kind of like a proud sort of a temperament, like King Saul and them, like Uzziah, you're going to want to go and do somebody else's job. You're going to start adding. But if you're a timid sort of person, you're not sure of yourself, Satan's going to try to get you to take away. He's going to try to get you to step back and not continue in that calling. You know, so he can get you to add or take away. And both sides, you're going to find now you're going to get yourself in trouble with the Lord. This isn't the way that it's supposed to be. And so the priests came and tried to minister him back into his original channel once again. And they told him, it doesn't pertain to you, King Uzziah, to do the office of a priest. This will not be for your good. And instead of being corrected by the word when he started going astray, it says there in verse 19, then Uzziah was wroth. You see, he started to fight against the anointed word. When he was trying to say, bride of Christ, get back in line. Get in line. Uzziah started to resist the word. He says, I can do it. I'm a king. God's blessed me. Friends, many ministers go that way. And you know what it's like. Many, God makes them great and they do mighty exploits. And they get to that stage. And may the Lord help each and every one of us. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the wrong attitude towards the body, failing to discern the body of the Lord, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you. The leprosy even rose up in his forehead. What's that? A plague. God added the plague into the man's life now. He says, if you take away from the words of this book, I'll take away your name. If you add, I'll add the plagues that are written in this book. And God plagues this man now. Oh, friends, it's a sad thing. And now the man's got leprosy. And it lasted a long time. Verse 21, Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death. He never recovered from that situation. He never managed to get himself back to his first love. Back to the original channel of his calling. This leprosy took such a hold inside of his life. He was cast out from the house of the Lord. Had to live in a several house where the lepers lived. And he died as a leper. And the Bible says these things are written for examples. That's what God puts these things for. Just to show us that people can have such a potential. But you've got to be careful you don't make the mistake like King Uzziah. It's quite an easy thing to do, to stray to one side or to the other. You don't really want to be doing that. Especially in this kind of a day. What about Jonah? Jonah, the word of the Lord. Let's just read a couple of verses from Jonah. You can put it up this one, please, bro. Jonah 1, verse 1. Let's see how the mystery of redemption always works in every instance. You'll find it right throughout the Bible if you go and study the Bible. Jonah 1, this plan of redemption for the individual unfolding itself. Jonah 1, verse 1. Here's the opening of the seal of redemption. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, if you go to verse 2, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for its wickedness has come up before me." So what is this? Jonas has been living his normal life, doing whatever he wants to do. He's just a man. And God says, "Now, I want the mystery of your life to progress onwards. I want you now to manifest what I've called you to manifest." So God draws nigh. The Logos himself comes down. Jonah finds himself in the presence of the Logos, Jehovah himself. And a seal breaks open. Something that's in God. This mystery that's in God. God wants now the mystery to unfold. He wants redemption to come to the Gentiles, the Ninevites. So he comes down and he breaks the seal now to Jonah. And he reveals to Jonah, the word of the Lord comes to him. And all of a sudden, Jonah knows what's in the heart of God, what God wants done at that time, in his day. And not only does Jonah understand what's in the mind of God, he sees his name under the seals as well. He sees exactly what he's supposed to do. He knows exactly what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to go, doesn't matter about his understanding, doesn't matter about his feelings, doesn't matter about the way he sees things, doesn't matter about past grievances that he has with the Ninevites and so forth. He's supposed to go. Walk in this channel that's been open to you. God wants this man to make progress. Go and preach to the Ninevites. What does the man do? He gets in a ship and goes to Tarshish. Running from the presence of... He's taken away. He's taken away from the purposes of God for his life. He's saying, "I can't do that. Brother so-and-so said this against me. I'm not going to go and sing again." Yeah? "I'm not preaching anymore. I'm tired of the people not saying amen when I preach." Imagine you get that kind of an attitude. "I'm not going to lead the songs. You know, people don't appreciate me when I lead songs." That's got nothing to do with it. It's got nothing to do with what the people say or the response of the people, what people think about you and me. What does he say to us? What is his purpose for you? What is the channel that he's open to you? That's all that you have to worry about is your absolute. Is the plan of redemption for your life, the mystery of prophecy that he spoke over your life from before the foundation of the world. Stay faithful and true to that. But the man says no, and he goes down. And verse 4, straight away you get in trouble, friends, every single time. "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was like to be broken." At work, the boss is against him, and he goes home, and his wife doesn't understand him anymore, and he can't sleep at night, and he's going to the doctor because he's sick all the time. There's a purpose, friends. This is the mystery of redemption. And you add to it, take away from it, get out of that channel, and it's the grace of God. What's God trying to do? Minister the man back into the channel. Getting the man to stop and consider and say, "But why is this happening to me?" Now Jonah knew well enough why it was happening to him. And he tried to sleep it off and all those different things. And then finally, he repented. And what happens? Chapter 3, verse 1. Just to show that God is the God of the Alpha and he's the God of the Omega. If you're in the channel in the days of your youth and then you get out of cater, you get out of orientation, he's not finished with you yet. Amen. The moment you line up your attitude with him, the moment that you're willing to do it once again, the moment that you've learned from your mistakes and learned from what he's taken you through. Chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. God came and opened the seal again. It's okay, let's continue on from where we were. I didn't go and find another prophet. I didn't forget about you. Now you're willing to walk in this channel. And God comes and reveals it to him. "Arise and go to Nineveh." Nothing's changed. "The great city, and preach unto the preaching that I bid thee." So Jonah arose. This time he was willing to do it. He said, "I don't want those storms and the tempest. I don't want the whale's belly anymore." That wasn't very pleasant. He's willing to walk in this channel that's been opened up to him. And then what happens? There comes the greatest revival in history. That's what the one brother preached. The greatest revival, and it's the truth. How many hundreds of thousands of people repented in one campaign under the preaching of this man? My, he was marvelously helped when he went to Nineveh. When he walked in that channel of his calling, when he didn't worry about his feelings, his opinions, and all these kind of things. And he just went and did what the Lord told him to do. God so anointed the man that the entire kingdom, right from the king, right to the least of the servants of the kingdom, repented in sackcloth and ashes. They even put sackcloth and ashes on their beasts. Friends, that's a powerful thing. Just because a man got back in line with his calling. Despite the mistakes that he had made, how he had got disoriented, he had got away from his absolute. Now he got himself back in harmony with that purpose that God had for his life. That which God had spoken of him. The man's moving back. Those things lining up, coming back into orbit once again. And down comes the blessing of God. Down comes the anointing of God. Down comes a present tense manifestation of the purpose of God. And God uses this man in such a mighty way to bring forth his purpose in that day. Friends, that just shows it doesn't matter how far you've strayed. You may stray 40 years out of your calling like Moses. But there's still going to be a burning bush come and open a seal to you at a certain time. Amen. And say, take off your shoes. And it's going to reveal the seal of what's in his heart, what's in his mind. And it's going to, you're going to see your name as well. I want you to go down. Take the stick in your hand. You're going to deliver my people. And Moses found his place under that seal as well. Exactly the same as us. Now there's many examples that you can give, but I don't want to take too much time. We'll just take one more, then we'll finish off with the prophet. Let's look at Haggai. The book of Haggai teaches the same principle as well. But we need to start with the book of Ezra, because the book of Ezra is the start of this work of redemption. Now, the temple's been broken down by Nebuchadnezzar. Jerusalem's been broken down. But it's the season of restoration. Ezra chapter 1 verse 1. God wants to restore. He wants to rebuild. He wants his people to have the former blessing back once again. He wants his Shekinah to come and dwell in the midst of his people. This is the deep that's inside of Jehovah. So now, things have been just going as if God doesn't exist for some time. But the season draws nigh. And God is going to open a seal of redemption now. He's going to move his program on once again. And what does he do? Ezra 1 verse 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. So what God had already spoken, the mystery of prophecy, it was time for it to be fulfilled. Amen. So God opens a seal. God opens a certain spiritual dimension. And there's a certain man called Cyrus that God has raised up. Cyrus being a type of Christ. The deliverer. He's been prophesied of by name by Isaiah the prophet twice. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia. This hadn't gone forth before. The Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has given And he has charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. That's the mystery of God unveiled. Now there's going to be people that are going to find their names under that mystery. The next verse. Who is there among you of all his people? Yeah. His God be with him. Let him go to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God. And he gives all the resources that they need. Now sometimes you'll read in your Bible and you'll wonder why God spends a whole chapter listing the names of people. Look at chapter 2. Chapter 2 is just simply a list of all the people who went back. Because these were all the people who saw their names under the seal of that day. God wants to show, I knew them by name. They recognized their names. I'm going to show the people down through the ages that every single one of those people, I appreciated what they did. That they weren't just a number of people. But God goes and puts, this is the house of so-and-so, and this is Brad so-and-so, who is the son of so-and-so, and he goes, like in the book of Nehemiah, when they're building the walls of the city. God puts such a detail. So-and-so built the tower gate, and so-and-so built this, and so-and-so built that. God's trying to show that when he opened that mystery in that day, that wasn't easy to go back to Jerusalem in those kind of circumstances when the city was broken down. But there was a certain kind of people who heard their name. There were certain people saw their names under the seal in that day. Certain people that were willing to walk in that prophetic channel that had been opened up through Cyrus, regardless of the price that they had to pay. It wasn't going to be easy. And you go and read, I don't know how much it is, I think it's 46,000 people. Yet there were millions of Jews down there. But the rest of the people didn't want to walk in that channel. They didn't want to pay the price. They had another absolute. Maybe their absolute was their job, or their absolute was something else there in Persia. But there were certain people that the Lord stirred them up. And when that anointing came forth and came through Cyrus, and a proclamation came forth in their day, in a season, an opportunity opened up to them in that season, they seized that opportunity. They heard their names. They saw their purpose and their destiny. And they realized that these talents and skills that Jehovah has given unto us, not to waste them here among the heathen. These things are to be used for the glory of God. Let's take our gifts. Let's take our abilities. You that can build. You that are stonemasons. You that are woodcutters. You that are whatever. Let's take these things and use them now the way they should be used. God gave us these things and ordained them for such a time as this. And they recognized their time and they moved in that channel. And they went and fulfilled what they're supposed to fulfill. And you wish again the story could end there. Because now you get to the book of Haggai. And the people started well. And they got back. You can read it yourselves. The book of Haggai now is the people going back to rebuild the temple. They rebuild the altar. They offer burnt offerings. They have a great time of rejoicing there. And look in Haggai chapter 5. Just to show that it's always going to be like this. It's going to declare a spiritual warfare. Now the moment that there's going to be a people that are lining up with the purposes of God. If you can put Haggai chapter 5 for us, bro. It declares a war. When a seal's open, there's a people who see their name. They see their destiny, see their purpose. They start walking in that channel, and then the enemy now, he declares a spiritual war. Amen. He declares a spiritual war. Have you got it there, bro, for us? Haggai 4, 5. Go to, sorry, I'm in the book of Haggai. I'm missing. I'm speaking the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 5. It's my mistake. Ezra chapter 4. Listen what it says, chapter 4, verse 1. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple of the Lord, God of Israel, they didn't just sit on their hands. They came first through deception, said, let's build with you. And they said, we don't want to build with you. And then what it does, verse 4. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. As long as those people were walking in that channel, the enemy was going to be doing what he could. But when the enemy came in like a flood, God would raise up a standard to meet. God would anoint, God would encourage, God would send them what they needed. Until there came a certain time where a proclamation came from a king and said, you better stop what you're doing. And they stopped what they were doing. And then they went and started building their own houses. And they started using all those talents and those gifts that God had given them. And they totally moved out of that prophetic channel. And they started building their own homes and doing all these things. And the house of the Lord just was up to foundation level. And the Lord watched it for a while and says, you're not supposed to take away from the mystery of the prophecy of your life. You're not supposed to take away from the purpose that I called you to. And he adds plagues to them now. And then it comes harvest time and the east wind comes and blows the harvest. And they're going to say, but the crop, what happened to the crop? And then they go now to the oil vat to take oil out, thinking there's 5 hins of oil, and they find there's only 2. And he says, and you were earning wages as if you're putting them in a bag with holes. Where's all our money going? We can't even keep a budget in this house. And the Lord now, being gracious, being the Alpha and the Omega, he sends them the prophet Zechariah. And he sends them Haggai. And he comes to them now when they've got so far to the channel of their calling that they've totally forgotten what their purpose is on earth. And they're just living for themselves and doing all the things for themselves. And the Lord says, consider your ways. What about my house? What about the very purpose that I created you? What about the very purpose I separated you? What about the very purpose that I sent the proclamation through Cyrus for? Consider your ways. And then the people, being the real people of God, when God came now through Zechariah the prophet and Haggai, he broke the seal open to them again. And he renewed the unction and he renewed the revelation. And the people said, we'll rise up. And the people had the right attitude, and straight away the Spirit came upon the prophet and he says, go and mark it on the calendar. From today, amen, I'll bless you. Amen. Even though you haven't done anything yet, but just because your attitude is right. Just because you've realized, hey, we made a blunder here. We got off course. We fell from our first love. We fell from the original channel that he called us to. God is the God of the second chance. Because the gifts and callings are God without repentance. Amen. So he came down to them in due season and he opened it up to them and he ministered them back in the channel and they built the house of the Lord and they fulfilled their purpose and their names were recorded in his book and God said, amen, the way that he always does. You'll find this principle right through the Bible. You know, I'll skip a lot of the things, but there's a lot of examples you can give. Let's finish off a thought of the prophet in our age. Now, the prophet, he was called to go to South Africa. And in South Africa, God had a purpose. God had a desire to be fulfilled. And God came to the prophet and broke open the seal, the mystery of redemption. And says, when you go there, go to Johannesburg, Sydney, Jackson, Durban. That's where it was supposed to be. And the prophet, he lands in Johannesburg. He's right in the channel of his calling, friends. He's right, this mystery of the prophecy of his life, the mystery of redemption, which he is to fulfill. He sees his name under the seal. He comes, he's in his position, in the right place, in the right time, in the prophetic channel. Turns Johannesburg upside down, 1955 or 1952, whatever it was. Then the newspapers are full of it. All the people had been healed, people getting out of their wheelchairs and the things taking place. My, the prophet gets back, this is so wonderful. My, this is the purpose of God. And then comes spiritual warfare. It's always going to be like that. The enemy is not going to leave you like that. Then comes the ministerial association. Brother Ram says, when are we going to Durban? They say, oh, no, we'll get down there in the way. We're going down to Klerksdorp tomorrow. And Brother Ram starts feeling a bit uneasy in himself. He says, that wasn't part of the original vision. We're not supposed to add to the vision. We're not supposed to take away. And he wrestles with the ministers in the night. He doesn't have any money. He's at their mercy. They've made their own itinerary. And they minister the prophet directly out of that channel of the calling of God. And the prophet says, we're in for trouble. God's permitting us to go, but we're in for trouble. And he says it in Faith Africa trip report. He says, as soon as we came out of Port Elizabeth, Brother Baxter taken very sick. Look at the plagues coming. Very sick. Billy Paul taken very sick. One thing started piling upon another. After a while, I was taken sick. I went to the Lord, and he turned his back on me. Friends, you see, brother, you've got to stay in the channel, friends. Doesn't matter if you're a prophet. Doesn't matter if you're the least of the brethren, like Paul called himself. We've got to stay in the channel of our calling. You've got to stay with your absolute. Don't let anything move you from your absolute. And the prophet gets amoebic dysentery. Almost dies from it. Gets so weak. But you know when the blessing came back? Although the Lord didn't heal him, was when he got to Durban. Amen. As soon as I got back to Durban, the last place of the meetings, he's the Alpha and Omega. As soon as the prophet got lined back up with the vision again and got to Durban, the full blessing came forth once again. Then the race course was filled with all the people. And there came such a blessing. And the prophet says, I saw 30,000 blank of natives come to Christ in one day. He said, it was the blessing of the Lord. God anointed and sent forth the blessing, but he was still going to teach his prophet a lesson. And the prophet says, we went on to Durban, and I stood there under the inspiration. God brought 30,000 people in one altar call to the altar. Imagine how the power of God fell at that time to bring 30,000 people to the altar at a time. Friends, that's the potential when you and I line up with our callings. Amen. It's unlimited what God can do. Amen. It's unlimited what he can do. And that's why Satan's going to fight against it and fight against it. We're going to feel something. I don't feel like doing it anymore. It's got nothing to do with your feelings. We need to repent of listening to our feelings. We need to repent of giving in to pressure and circumstances. Don't turn to the left hand. Don't turn to the right. Then you shall have good success. Then shall I make your way prosperous, the Lord says. Then you shall inherit the land. Then no man shall stand against you all the days of your life. But it's walking in that channel, friends. And you can understand why Satan's going to fight against us to pull us to the left and to the right, using every means that he possibly can. Now, The last one is the prophet and the Pentecostals. I really like that one there. God had a purpose for the prophet. He's already revealed it on the river 1933. He's already revealed certain things to him. He's broken open this mystery of the prophet's life in certain ways. But there comes this junction in time now that the prophet's ministry is to expand in another direction. You see, God wants to manifest, make himself known through the ministry of the prophet in a way that hasn't been known before. So God has a certain people that is prepared to receive the ministration of the prophet. See? And the prophet, he's a nervous kind of a guy. He's not too sure of himself, you know, his background and different things. And he gets down there, he says to a convention, a group of people holding a convention in Mishawaka. We know it well, but I'll just read it for the people who don't know it. And they were holding this convention in the north because there was segregation in America those days. He says, I'd never seen Pentecost before. So I thought, let me go in and see what it looks like. And they were all clapping their hands and singing that song. I know it was the blood. They were singing that song, the prophet says. He says, and people were running up and down the aisles. He says, and a minister got in the pulpit and preached and pointed his finger right at me. He says, God really spoke to me. And the prophet says, I started to like it. He says, I'm going to come back this evening. Went in, got himself some old stale rolls. He only had enough money to get petrol to get back home. Slept, wanted to sleep in his car that night. Then that evening, they call all the ministers. They say, any minister, please come. We don't have time for you all to preach. Come and introduce yourselves. And the prophet comes on, William Branham, Jeffersonville, evangelist, Baptist, and off he goes off the pulpit. And he was the youngest of all the ministers. Now God is going to crack open a seal now. God's going to be opening another door, another dimension to the prophet now. And the prophet comes back the next day, sleeps in his car, comes back the next day. The man comes to the pulpit, announces, we want that youngest of the ministers, William Branham, want him please to come and take the meeting. We know the story. And the prophet says, I hunkered down in my chair because I had my t-shirt and my seersucker trousers. I couldn't go. He says, I was a Baptist. We preached in a clerical collar and a coat. He says, I couldn't go and preach with a t-shirt on. And then the Lord anoints the colored man next to him and says, do you know where he is? And the prophet, I couldn't lie to the man. And I told him, it's me, but I can't go to the t-shirt. He says, I thought it was you the way you were hunkering down. And then they said, does anybody know where William Branham is? Here he is, here he is. And Branham says, I went up there red in my face. I'd never preached with a microphone before. You see the way we naturally feel sometimes when that seal of redemption opens up and God wants to launch us into the next stage of progress in our spiritual calling. You're going to have our feelings and different things to hold us back. But you've got to pay no attention to those things. This is the Lord opening up the next part of the mystery of redemption in the life of the prophet. And the prophet goes to the pulpit now. And he says, I had been the night before laying under that little old cherry tree. And I had prayed, God, somehow or another, give me favor with them people. So there was a deep in the prophet. He knew, I've got to do something with these people. And there was a deep in the people somehow. They felt moved. Let's give this young man a chance to preach. We never heard of him before. Can you see the way that God is opening something up in the heavenly realm at that time? Wanting to bring the prophet in harmony now with his heavenly calling. That theophany, God's word body, is calling to him when he meets these Pentecostals. And he feels, I'm supposed to be with these people. God, give me favor with these people. He says, that's what I was hungering for. That's what it was reaching for. There was a people, these were the people I'd wanted to see all my life. He says, there was something in me that had always been looking for these kind of people, this kind of a spiritual experience, this kind of a worship. He says, finally I found and administered something to the deep in me. He should have known from that. Don't let anything stop you from this. This is the hand of God. This is the mystery of God's purpose for your life. He says, so I got up, my ears were red. I had my Bible under my arm. And I went kind of sheepish looking, scared to death. And I said, oh my, last night I was praying all night for God to give me favor. Now God is going to get me up before them. He started seeing the hand of God. And I happened to turn over to Luke, the rich man lifting up his eyes in hell. He saw Lazarus far away and then he cried. And we know how the prophet preached. And like I've said before, the prophet entered a certain dimension because he had been in the regions of the lost when he was young. And he knew what it was like to be in a place when he cried and there was no mother. And he cried and there was no father. And he cried and there was no God there. So he was preaching from the deep that was in him. God had already prepared him in his youth. for this particular meeting that he was going to take. And the prophet broke into that channel, nervous though he was, but he's lined up with this purpose of God, perfectly lined up with the mystery of God in his life. He says, and I got to preaching. The rich man down in hell, there was no church and he cried. No children and he cried. No songs and he cried. No God and he cried. And I got started. And people got to screaming. And then I cried and away it went. And the first thing you know, everyone was on their feet. And then he cried and he cried. And the next thing I knew, I was out in the yard. I don't know what happened. But everybody was blessing God. He was marvelously helped. Now you can see straight away from there. You can discern spiritual discernment in your own calling. This was God. This is what God wants me to do. This is the people God wants me to be with. Doesn't matter about my Baptist background. Doesn't matter about all these other things. This is the mystery of redemption inside of my life. He says, and they were carrying on and the congregation screaming and shouting. I don't know what I did. I just lost myself in the Lord. My. When you line up, friends, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? There's a spiritual something you'll experience then, which will increase your absolute, because you'll reveal himself even more real than he's been before. And then finally, the people started coming from Texas and so forth, come and take meetings for us. And he got this big bunch of invitations. Come and preach to the Indians for me. And he says, I said, let me get a piece of paper. And I went to writing down these names and addresses. And I had a big string of them that long to last me a year. And oh my, I was so happy. It's the place of contentment, friends. It's the place of satisfaction. It's the place of vision and purpose. The place of spiritual reality. The man's lining up with his calling. Lining up with the heavenly vision. And again, we wish it stayed like that. And so the prophet went to the Pentecostals, the angel came to him in the cave, and things went. But that's not the way that it worked. He says, so I put down all the invitations, and I hurried home to my wife. And when she came to meet me, I told her about these happy people. And she said, oh, Billy, I would like to have that experience. What did they call it? And I said, they said it was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I said, let us go and find Jesus like that. So we did, and we both received the blessing. So God confirmed it to him and to Sister Hope. This is where I want you to be. This is the people you're supposed to be with. So I was going to leave then and go on to evangelistic work. So we went to tell our parents. Now her mother was a refined type of woman. She belonged to a big church. Spiritual warfare. A trumpet's going to sound. There's going to be warfare, friends. It's going to declare a religious war, the prophet says. Whenever God opens a seal, you start walking in that seal, there's going to be religious warfare. Something's going to happen in the heavenlies. And she said, now, Billy, them people are nothing but trash. There's nothing to them. You stay away from them. I don't want my girl around them. And we know that Sister Hope started crying and then Brother Brown's mother-in-law said, if you take her, you can. But her mother will go to the grave with a broken heart. And the prophet says, there's where I made my fatal mistake. Now from there, listen. I listened to my mother-in-law instead of God and forsaken the church and went on back to my Baptist people. Right away, plagues hit my home. That's how he explains it. He says, right away, plagues hit my home. My wife took sick. My father died on my arm. My brother was killed. Everything happened just in a few days. A great flood hit the country and washed away my home. And my wife was in the hospital and so forth. And we know what it was, what took place. But friends, when you take away from his calling, when you take away from what he's calling you to do, or you add to his purposes, that's where all these things start happening in our lives, friends. That's where things happen in our church. That's where things happen in a church age. But a plague is a temporary judgment. He says it's temporary. God drops it down as a temporary something to teach you a lesson so that you can be more effective when he comes back to you to visit you once again. And just to finish, he says, I tell you, brother, there's a whole lot. When God calls you to do anything, don't you let no one stand in your way. You keep keep God first. That's your absolute friends. Do everything respectfully. Do everything in love. But don't let anything come between you and your calling in Christ. Don't let anything come to pull you this way and that. Satan's very clever what he does, friends. And every single one of us who have been believers for any length of time can testify. We know how cunning he is. We know how he works. He can come right through Job's wife. He can come right through the brothers from church to try to pull you out of your calling. But the prophet says, you put God first. He's got to stay as your absolute. You've got to keep this as supreme. This is the most important thing when God looks at you today and looks at me. Is God wants you to fulfill the calling, to walk in that channel, because then you will be blessed and you will be a blessing. Then you'll bless his people. You'll edify his church. You'll fulfill his purposes. You'll break down the powers of the kingdom. You'll possess more of your inheritance. And Satan doesn't want you to be there. And he says, look, friends, I believe if I'd have went on right then, when I was mixing up with that bunch of people who believed in the supernatural, the angel of God would have come to me and revealed that thing. And it would have been thousand times thousands more people in glory because of it. That was the 1930s. It says, if I could have just stayed, resisted that pressure, stayed in that channel, the angel would have come quicker to me. Would have ministered the two signs like Moses. The message would have gone forth. But instead it was wasted time. He says, you see, that's the reason I go day and night, never worrying, putting my whole strength, because I've got to redeem the time. I've got to do it. But God never forgot about him, friends. 1946 May, what happens? He's trying to understand the mystery of his life. He doesn't understand the purpose of why he has these visions and things. And he's in a cave. And God says, okay, let me reveal once again. Break a seal open to him. And here comes a light. And here comes a man, an angel stepping out of the light. And said, I've come to explain to you the mystery of your life. I've come to explain to you your strange birth. And your peculiar gifts and the life that you've lived. God has ordained you for a purpose. And when the angel this time said to him, will you go? Brahman says, but I have no education. The angel says, I'll go with you. Then Brahman says, then I'll go. And he turned the world upside down. Amen. Friends, it's worth paying the price. And as we move into this new year, let that be something that really dominates your thinking. Let it be something you put as number one, far above anything else on the list of priorities of your life. It's what did Christ die to redeem me for? What is my purpose? What is my calling? Am I walking in the channel, or have I turned to the left and to the right? Have I fallen from the original estate that I used to have? If you have friends, let's seek him. Let's wait upon him. He's the God of restoration. He's the Alpha and he's the Omega. He's the one who started the work. And if you just start lining up again and put your desire right, he'll come forth and break forth something to us once again, something to you, something to me. And he'll minister us back into that channel once again. And he'll continue the work with us. And may the Lord bless us as we go into the new year. Let's stand. I'm sure you desire to be in harmony as much as me. Let's sing that song, He's Alpha and He's the Omega. And we worship Him today.
And Omega, we worship you, Lord. You are worthy to be praised. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, O Lord. You are worthy to give you all praise. We give you all.
this mountain, yeah?
Within my soul, God has promised in His word, He'll make us whole. Well, it's time for it to happen. That huge portion of heaven, it will make and bring to pass that tremendous victory in the love divine. For I'm tired of working on this mountain. Oh, I'm heading down to the Jordan. Oh, before me I see a vision. Let's keep this holy convocation, become a new creation. For it's the message in you and me will bring to pass the tremendous victory. For I'm tired of trembling on this mountain. I'm headed to the Jordan. Lord, before me I see a vision breaking. I see it breaking, the power that will bind the number of the full ministry. The power that will bind the number of the full ministry. For I'm tired of tramping on this mountain. I'm heading down to the Jordan. Lord, before me I see a vision breaking. I see it breaking, the power that will bind the number of the full ministry. The power that will bind the number of the full ministry.
Saints, let's bow our heads. I just wonder if there's somebody here today, when we're speaking of your purpose, your calling in life, And you haven't even started on the journey. You don't even know why you were born. You don't even know why you're here. And just in some strange way, God has led you and brought you here today. And you're saying, Lord, I know there's a God, but I don't know Him. And I want to know Him. I want to know Him in the forgiveness of my sin. I want to know Him that I have an absolute in my life, that He'll do something for me that I might know that He's real. I want Him. I want Him to give me purpose in my life, to give me vision, to reveal what am I here for? Why am I here? Why was I born? If you want to raise your hand to Him, not to anybody else but to Him, to say, Lord, I'm looking unto You. I want that purpose, Lord. I want that vision. Maybe you've lost the vision. Maybe it was clearer before and you're saying, Lord, renew my vision once again, Lord, Father. Just renew it, Lord. You are the God of restoration. Lord, You have said, I will restore, saith the Lord. All of those years, it may have been years that you lost the vision. You're saying, Lord, I want to learn from my mistakes, Lord. I want to learn. I got off course. I went to the left and to the right. Lord, I looked at this and I looked at that. Lord, I took my eyes off the prize. I took my eyes off the North Star. I took my eyes off the cross. And I got out of that channel, Lord, that's such a precious place to live. And Lord, I'm just praying. Break open the mystery of redemption to me once again. Visit my soul. Father, minister an entrance to me once again into that walk that I used to walk, that calling, Lord, that You've called me unto. And Jesus, I'll be far wiser this time by Your grace, because I've learned so much, Lord, and I'll walk with You. I want to walk in harmony with You, if that's Your desire. Let's speak to Him, saints, today. Let's call upon His name in whichever way that You desire. Let's speak to Him before we leave. Father, giving ourselves once again into Your hands, Lord, upon this day as Your people and at this time, Lord, and just wanting, Lord Jesus, to consecrate all to Thee, even upon this day. Father, in Your hands.
Thank You, Lord Jesus, for all Your goodness and kindness that has passed Your hands to us. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for all Your goodness.
It's mountain here. Just the chorus, bro. Oh, trampling on this mountain, oh, I'm going down to the Jordan. Lord, before me I see a vision breaking. I see a breaking, a power that will unite. Power that will bind the number of the full ministry.
Oh, I'm tired,
for I'm tired of tramping on this mountain.
Oh,
I'm heading down to the Jordan. Lord, before me I see a vision breaking. I see it breaking, a power that will bind the member of the full ministry. The power that will bind the member of the full ministry. Let's sing one more, Deborah, whatever you have. Touch your people once again. We need power, true love for each other. We have had so many bleak but empty words. So we come before Your face, asking for Your grace. Take Your people to a state of fruitful life. Restore Your church again. Touch Your people once again with Your precious holy hand. We
May your kingdom shine upon this earth through our living glorious church. Not for temporary, no, but to restore authority and power. Let a mighty rushing wind blow. Touch your people once again. Lord, you see your tired servants and your broken, wounded soldiers. Oh, how much we need your precious healing hand. We need the power of the cross. That's the only source for us when we stand up facing final battle cry. Restore your church again.
Oh, touch your people.
Touch your people once again. Oh, with your precious holy hand. We pray, may your kingdom shine upon this earth through our living glorious church. Not for temporary needs, no, but to restore authority and power. Let a mighty rushing wind blow in. Oh, touch your people once again.
Let's sing it one. Justified, justified. Alone and wondering about what I'm supposed to do. I can't deny the times I've made mistakes. I can't hide from hearing you. But I knew that deep within my soul I felt sorry, honest I do. So I cried and said, forgive me, Lord, forgive me again with you. Justified, justified. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified, justified, justified. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified. So often I'm discouraged when I count the times I fall. Cause he promised I'd be victorious when I know I'm not at all. Then I heard an eagle scream, its voice quickened my soul. He said, you've not done it in the first place, you're justified. Justified, justified. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified, justified, justified. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified.
He looked at your perfect picture without blame, spot or wrinkle. He didn't look at you where you are now. He looked from eternity. He said you're just trapped in that body. You bypassed your theophany. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified. 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 You have not done it in the first place. You're justified. 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 You have not done it in the first place. You're justified. 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 You have not done it in the first place. You're justified. 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 You have not done it in the first place. You're justified.
One more round. Do you have one there, Brother Joe? Oh, brother. Bless your name. Let's close with "I bless your name." Just before we sing that song, I was speaking yesterday to the pastor in Donetsk, Ukraine, Brother Vladimir Ryabov. As you know, this serious civil war there. It was real sad speaking to him. They're having a very hard time there. So I wanted to say to the saints, please remember them in prayer. You know, the church was maybe almost 300 people. People have had to leave. They've got about 100 people now. But even people that are working aren't getting salaries. There's no banks in the town. Even to get food, they're really surviving on nothing. You know, they're surviving on outside help. You know, I just thought maybe in a couple of weeks' time, once we get in the new year, we'll just take a special offering if the saints would help, just to send to them as well. Because there's a lot of saints there. There's no work. They're in a real, real difficult situation. But the brother was saying the Lord's really been with them, but he's really suffering in his health, Brother Vladimir, as well. It's been a hard time for them. But he was saying, by the grace of God, the entire shelling of Donetsk, they've destroyed the airport, destroyed a lot of places, but it hasn't come anywhere near the area he lives, and it hasn't come anywhere near the place where the church is. And although 6 Protestant churches so far have been confiscated and taken away from the churches, they haven't had any problems at all. So he's really appreciative to the Lord for watching over them. But they're having a hard time, these saints. And I'd really ask you to pray for them. That's the saints in Ukraine. I never realized it was so bad until we spoke to him yesterday. So please, whenever the Lord is near, mention those saints that they really do need the grace of God.
Business chains with bleeding stripes, Paul and Simon, let's be the mat, and in their bed began to sing, their chains were loose. And they were free. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you all. I give you praise. You are alive.
You are.
The truth, the way. Your name,
I bless
your name. Some midnight hour, if you should find,
oh, you find
you're in a prison,
in your mind,
reach out and pray. Defy those chains. We'll fall in Jesus' name.
We bless you, Lord.
I bless your name.
Hallelujah.
I bless your name.
We bless you, Lord.
I give you all. bread of life.
You are
the truth, the way. So if you find that
in your life
you're in the midst of
times so hard,
reach out my faith to hide some good. The truth, the way. Bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. The truth, the way. Bless your name. I bless your name.
Let's bow our heads. We'll ask Brother Vlad to close for us in prayer. Just to say, New Year's Eve, saints. Let's come 7 o'clock. Start singing 7:30. Bring your gifts. Bring your testimonies. Bring whatsoever the Lord has done for you. Let's come. If the children's play is ready, we'll be doing it as well on New Year's Eve. And then let's start the year in the presence of the Lord. Let's keep it in prayer and hope to meet you here 7 o'clock. That's on Wednesday evening by the grace of God. Amen. Let's bow our heads and ask Brother Vlad to close for us.
Heavenly Father.
Yes, Lord.
We are just bowing our heads before you, O Lord, closing this service.
Yes, Lord.
Thinking like David says, O Lord, you spoke once, I heard twice.
Amen, Lord.
May that happen in our lives, O Lord, when we leave this building.
Amen.
O Lord, may something is speaking to our hearts, O Lord.
Amen.
May something is continuing persuading us, O Lord. Help us to surrender everything what we
are,
Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
that we will just make you preeminence in our lives, O Lord.
Amen, Lord.
Yes, O Lord, that you can use us for your purpose, O Lord.
Amen.
You predestinated before foundation of the world, O
yes,
Lord.
Lord. Yes,
oh, we ask, like we sing those songs, O Lord, that we want that you will be just number one in our lives, O Lord. O Lord, we are so thankful for your word, O Lord.
O Lord.
We want to be thankful, like song says, I bless your name, O
yes,
Lord.
Lord. Yes,
I
Lord.
Want to bless your name, not
yes,
my neighbor.
Lord.
I yes. want to bless
Amen.
Your name,
yes,
O Lord.
Lord.
Because you came and you spoke to me, O Lord.
Amen.
You brought life to my life, O Lord.
Amen.
I am so thankful for everything,
Amen.
O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
O Lord, when we depart from this place, you be with us. You undertake,
Amen.
O Lord.
Please,
you touch
Lord.
Every need, O Lord.
Amen.
Because you are our Father, O Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, we just long after
Amen.
You,
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Bless
yes,
our
Lord.
Pastor, O
Please,
Lord,
Lord.
When he laid things aside, O Lord.
Amen.
Just to seek your face.
O Lord.
To feed your children, O Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, you restore his strength.
Please, Lord.
O Lord, you touch every
Amen.
Need, O
yes,
Lord.
Lord.
Our strength you restore, O Lord.
Amen.
Be with us. When we think that we will just enter new year, that we will not turn another page, O Lord.
Amen.
No, we depend on you, O Lord.
Amen.
We just waiting upon you, O Lord. You lead us. You guide
Amen.
Us, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Help us, O Lord.
Amen.
You come down, O Lord. Fill us with your love, O Lord.
Amen.
Fill us with your spirit, O Lord. That we will go like Elijah, O Lord.
Amen.
40 days, 40 nights
yes,
with your
Lord.
Strength, O
yes,
Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
O Lord, help Hallelujah. Us that we will be
Amen.
Not running ahead of you, that we will be waiting upon you. Help us to learn, O Lord, through those things our prophets learn, O Lord.
Amen.
Our prophets in Bible, O Lord, people in Bible they learn, O Lord.
Amen.
Help us to be real Bible believers.
Yes,
that Lord. We will write history, O Lord.
Amen.
For your glory,
Amen.
Your honor, we ask.
Yes,
in the name
Lord.
Of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless saints. Meet you Wednesday by the grace of God. Amen. God bless you, Bruce. Thanks so much.